Hey, John.
Hey, Nick.
I'm really creeped out right now. I just saw this on Reddit.
What's going
Apparently,
on?
tinfoil companies like Reynolds Wrap invented conspiracy theories to sell more tinfoil.
Well, it's time to foil their plot. Tin foil.
Yeah!
Sunglasses drop.
Yeah.
And this is Stranger Still.
Welcome to Stranger Still,
a podcast where we do the normal stuff that we do, but better every time.
Every time. It's better. You know why? Because I thought something would come to me in that moment and it didn't. How are you doing, John? Oh, wait, I'm
it's getting
Nick.
Worse, huh? I'm John Began.
How's it going, man?
Thanks, Tigger. That was a good impression there.
Thanks. Let's see if I can do more. Give me a word to say.
A word to say?
Yeah.
How about conspiracy?
No, I can't do that.
Bounce.
I don't think I can do a Tigger impression. I was doing what's the character from Mary Poppins? It talks like this. I was doing that.
Oh, yeah. That's a good story.
That's
what other stories do you have?
That's what we call parent
maybe
story.
Five. Okay.
Yeah. Parent stories, for those that don't know, are things that are incredibly boring, but we act like you'll be interested in hearing them. Because the rest of that story was my daughter wanted to read a very boring Sesame Street book, and instead of doing the normal voices, I decided to do the worst voices I could think of, and that was one of them.
To make her okay, good.
Another one was this one, and yeah.
Oh, I love that one right there.
Yeah. So anyway, how are you doing?
Pretty good for the apocalypse.
Yeah, since we're in the midst of an apocalypse, there's a lot of conspiracy theories going around. Mm-hmm. And
we thought that maybe we'd distract you all from the Civil War coming up.
Yeah, next month.
To talk a little bit about them.
Yeah. So I've said this on the show before. I'm a frequenter of Reddit, and about once every week on Ask Reddit, there is a thread about like which conspiracy theories are too convincing to ignore or something like that. And a few of them always pop up, and they're not like the ones we've covered before, like the Clintons or Flat Earth or anything like that. They're just like something that you might bring up at a party to make a couple people laugh, or to make them think, not to make a whole movement and shoot people into space to try to prove that the Earth is flat kind of thing. And I figured, let's grab a few of those and we'll just kind of talk about them, John.
Maybe dive a little deep.
Yeah.
Maybe dive a little shallow. Let's take a deep dive in the shallow section.
Some of these will
put
be
that on the shirt.
Yeah, that's not confusing at all. It's like
take a
long walk off a short dock.
Deep,
kind of like
deep
that.
Dive in the shallow section.
Yeah.
Flows off the.
You say that all the time.
Tip of the tongue.
It is your catchphrase. Yeah. So I've got 10 conspiracy theories, John. And by the end of the episode, you're going to believe in all 10 of them.
Whoa, that's some clickbait, huh?
Yeah.
You're psychologizing me. Yeah. Reversely.
Reversely. My goal of this episode is to make sure that you believe in all 10 of these by the end of the episode.
Okay. Well, as long as you got facts that don't care about my feelings, I think that I'll be on board.
Yeah. So, John, how are your lips feeling?
A little touched by a quarantine mustache right now, but...
Yeah.
Pretty good overall. Yeah.
Are you a fan of chapstick or lip balm?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I make sure my lips are the least chapped any chap will ever see.
Here's a question for you. Have you ever finished a stick of chapstick? Have you ever gotten to the bottom of it?
No one's ever.
Exactly. Which is our first conspiracy theory. This comes from Reddit. Chapstick, which is a brand name, so I think they mean lip balm, comes in a tube so that it rolls away and you lose it and you have to buy more. It's just like a pen. Have you ever finished a pen? Have you ever used all the ink in a pen?
No, they always get low on gas and then you're just like, well, no time to fill her up. Yeah. Let me grab me another one of these suckers. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Roll I'm, away, huh?
Yeah. Like
under couches and stuff?
Under couches and in between cushions.
And then
driveway.
What? They're just too old?
Well, then you never find them again. They go into another dimension, I assume. Because have you ever found a roll of chapstick that you lost? No.
Oh, my God.
Because you went
yeah,
and bought
actually,
one. You went
often.
And bought a 17-pack
no,
of them.
I don't. I just find it and I use it again.
Oh.
It's always in my drawer. I think we're 0 for 10, Nicholas.
You don't believe in this
no,
one?
No, no. I don't know. Why not make it a ball?
They have done that. And then, mold started growing in the tops of them. Remember that fiasco?
No.
You don't remember that?
What?
Those Eos ones or whatever?
Eos are still around. They're
I know.
Still popular, but they have flat tops and bottoms now.
Yeah. They used to be in balls, and then, mold would grow in the tops of them.
It's gross.
Yeah. What? I'm sure that
they
were
really
old.
That seems like it's a
really
fixable
old problem. I know, yeah. I'm sure that they were, super old, and it was a clickbait article, but it took the nation by storm.
Wow. Okay.
But my question to you is, why else would they put it in a tube? What, because that shape is convenient for applying to your lips? You think that's why they put it in a tube? I don't think that tracks.
That's true. Although there are many other things that, now that I'm thinking they're in tubes, would be more convenient in a ball. Like a ball of toothpaste. You could be hey, throw me a ball of toothpaste, bro. And your roomie could be like, catch.
That makes me think of a cheese ball where you just it's a ball, and then you take your toothbrush and just swipe it across the ball to get some toothpaste. You know what I mean?
What's a cheese ball?
It's a ball made out of cheese.
Okay, that's gross. Why would you do that? Why not just put it in a tube like a normal person?
It's for rich people. I've never done it.
Okay.
But you know what else is for rich people?
The second conspiracy theory?
Come on, let me have my transition, man. Come on.
Okay, actually, go ahead. Yeah.
Art.
Oh, wow. I didn't see that coming. What a twist of turn.
And who's the most famous artist but Banksy?
Mm-hmm.
That's not even remotely true, but you know who Banksy is, right?
He might be one of the most famous street artists.
Yeah. Well, absolutely, for street art. For those that don't know, Banksy is a seemingly UK-based street artist who has had many antics over the years, and nobody knows for sure who he is, or who she is, or who they are.
Or she's the anonymous, or they're the anonymous of the street art world.
Yes. And almost nobody knows, because there was an article put out by metro.co.uk 2 years ago titled "Forensic Expert Believes Banksy is Gorilla's Founder, Jamie Hewlett."
Oof.
He's cracked the case, John. He's cracked it wide open.
Did you say, I'm sorry, what was the second word in their job title?
Forensic expert.
Was that expert? Okay.
Why?
Experts are smart at what they do. It means they're the best at it, right?
Yeah, so I'm gonna convince you that Jamie Hewlett is Banksy. Here we go. Basically, the entire article revolved around this anonymous forensic researcher went through a bunch of public records to figure out who, all the companies associated with Banksy, who all of those belong to. And it turns out, all of them are owned or associated with Jamie Hewlett. So there's been a couple other smaller clues, like Banksy's art has shown up in a Gorillaz music video, and one of the other Gorillaz founder, Damon Albarn, has another band called Blur, and Banksy did the album art for one of Blur's albums. But the other thing is that Jamie got his start as a comic book artist, so he's already an artist.
Yeah.
There's also this picture out there that someone claims was Banksy that looks sort of like Jamie. And Banksy, here's where we get into the companies and who owns what thing. Banksy made a documentary called Exit Through the Gift Shop. That movie was produced.
That's great.
I haven't seen it.
That's great.
I'll probably watch it. The movie was produced by Paranoid Pictures, which is owned by Pest Control Office LTD. Now, Pest Control Office LTD is owned by Pictures on Walls Limited, who sells Banksy's art, among other artists' art, which they fail to mention in this article. Pictures on Walls Limited is owned by Jamie Hewlett.
Jamie.
Now, he is the only person listed as a shareholder for this company. Therefore, he at least owns all things Banksy. They sell reproductions of the art. They sell magnets with the art. They sell merchandise of the art. The other interesting thing is that Jamie has been spotted at all of Banksy's galleries, because Banksy has had galleries. And the person that put on these galleries, along with Banksy's accountant and Banksy's manager, three different people, can all be linked back to companies owned by Hewlett. And that's about all the evidence that this forensic expert has. So all of the companies are owned by Jamie Hewlett.
Yeah, hold on a sec. Did you know that if you look up Banksy,
mm-hmm.
his wife is public?
What?
Her name's Joy Millward.
Is this real?
And you could just probably just ask her.
I'm looking.
It says spouse way. Banksy.
What? How is that real?
Look her up, Joy Millward.
I'm looking her up. I don't understand what's going on. I don't know.
They're like, you probably just ask her, right?
Yeah, that's probably true.
And also, couldn't Jamie just be friends with Banksy?
Right, that's exactly what I thought. A lot of people think that like Banksy is actually a collective of people because the art has shown up everywhere. And I personally, I think that probably makes the most sense. I'm also reading here that the leading theory, and this is as far back as 2011, people think that Robin Gunningham is Banksy, but
it's a Banksy. I'm going with the theory that it's multiple people, because if you think of it from a logical standpoint, like the culture of gorillas, Banksy,
mm-hmm.
vinyl figures, like shoes, all of that ties together.
Yeah,
and I'm sure the leaders in those communities that throw events all communicate and know artists and have friends. Like it's like any other industry.
Yeah, and I think one thing that makes me think that is Pictures on Walls has a website that sells many different artists' work, but they like their goal is to sell it and keep the artist's anonymity intact. So
it's just a cool concept.
Yeah,
and he started that.
Yeah. So like they're basically making a bunch of Banksys on this website, a bunch of anonymous artists putting their work out there. So who's to say that it's not just a bunch of people?
Yeah.
I don't know. So we're 0-10. 0-2 so far.
Yeah, I think so. I'm a little disappointed, Nicholas. It's better get a little bit more convincing with this next one. I'm going to need some science and facts.
All right, here's some facts for you.
Okay.
Gender was invented by bathroom companies to sell more bathrooms. You and I both know there aren't two genders. There are people out there that wrongfully disagree. But what if, John? What if there are no genders? It's not two. It's not even a spectrum. There just aren't genders. My gender is me. I am me and you are you. But those pesky toilet companies thought that's not going to fly, because if we convince the public that there's male and female, we can sell twice the toilets. We can't have unisex bathrooms.
But hold on, Nicholas. Hold on, Nicholas. So far, this sounds completely true, except wouldn't they sell more bathrooms if they had a spectrum of bathrooms to sell?
Well, they didn't think of that.
Okay.
But here's my other theory. And I hope everyone knows we're not serious about it. But to take it a step further, remember when all that outrage came up when Target was like, hey, use whatever bathroom makes you feel most comfortable? Remember that outrage? Yeah.
Right.
That was sparked by the toilet companies, by Toto or Sloan, those big toilet, to sow discord across the United States to make sure that we still only have two bathrooms. Double
the
toilets.
Big toilets poop, dude. I'm sick of it. Wow. Isn't it funny that you only know Sloan because you look at it in a urinal?
Yeah. All the time. That and Toto.
I only know your brand name because I peed on it sometimes in public.
Right. Well,
that's pretty good. So what, like, is there anything more to that? Did the person that posted that have anything to back it?
No.
Okay.
That was just a meme. Also, this is a meme, but I think people actually believe it, but Mattress Firm is actually a money laundering front.
Okay. This one was the only one on the list that I was like, okay, this could be something.
So I think this came about from some sort of small video service like Vine or TikTok or Twitter or something, where someone was driving around and was filming on like four different corners within a few blocks. There were like four Mattress Firms, and everyone's like, well, you never see anybody inside the store. Like, when's the last time you bought a mattress? There's no way that they have all these stores and they're making a profit. So I did a little bit of digging, John.
Oh, no.
The official explanation is the overhead on a mattress store is incredibly low, and the profit margins on a mattress are extremely high. So they say you only need like one person to staff the store at a time because there is low traffic. And supposedly you only need to sell one mattress a week to stay open is what they say. But in the US, apparently it's a $7 billion industry. the average bed costs about $800. So even if the profit margins were 100%, which is impossible, that's, you sell one $800 bed a week, you have to pay someone full-time at a minimum wage. I haven't even done the math on this. I'm doing the math live. Minimum wage.
It's like a commission.
Is what, $300 a week for that person at minimum wage? Plus, then there's probably a manager, plus rent for the building. I don't know how much it costs to own a building or run a business, but it doesn't really track for me, is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
To have them on every single corner, unless it's like they're trying to build up brand recognition, because Mattress Firm, I didn't know about them until like 4 years ago. Apparently, they are one of the biggest share, what do you want to call it? Yeah. No, the market share. Yeah,
they have
one of the biggest market share on the market. Between them and Sealy, it's 42% of the market, just between those two companies.
How?
I don't
know.
It's
boomers, right? Because everyone orders their mattress online now.
Well, I don't.
I have a Casper.
I don't, but I got a hand-me-down from my in-laws. The last mattress we bought was for my daughter, and that was like $200 because it's a child's bed.
Yeah. So you, like, you bought them for like a month, right? You fueled the entire industry.
What, so like, I know that beds are usually a private thing, but when's the last time you heard about someone buying a bed?
Well, here's the thing, man. Planned obsolescence.
Yeah.
Those springs dig in your back, and all these box stores all have spring beds still, right? Yeah. They're not foam as often. Yeah. And even if they are, like, that probably has some planned obsolescence to it.
Well, like, all the websites are like, the average person replaces their bed every 5 to 7 years. And I'm like, I don't think that's true, because I haven't replaced my bed in, I don't know how long. I don't know the last time anyone I know has bought a bed. And that's a big expense. And usually when people spend a lot on stuff, they like to tell people about it. Like, oh man, I bought a new bed. I'm sleeping great now. Like, that's something
I didn't tell you that I got
about.
Casper. And I mean,
yeah, but you hate me, so.
Well, that's true. But you do have an example of somebody that you know now that bought a bed.
Okay.
And also, it's great for listening to podcasts. And it's true. It's really good for that. Yeah.
So I'm one for three now.
Yeah. This one I buy because that's garbage.
Oh, that's four.
And now they're definitely going to go out of business with not only Casper, but Nesper and
Napster,
all the ones that kind of sound like it. Napster, LimeWire,
Kazaa, yeah.
Shazam.
Speaking of obsolete internet technology, how about Facebook?
Yeah.
It'll be obsolete like in a year, the way Mark Zuckerberg is running his company.
After the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I read this one. It came from Javid Sanders 44 on Reddit. They said Facebook generates conflict within relationships to create drama, making more posts, which I don't typically like to just read what people wrote, but I kind of just want to read what they wrote here. They said, Facebook purposely attempts to ruin people's relationships because the drama gets more views, and more views sell more ads. Several years ago, they introduced a feature so that your comments on other pages would show up in your friend's feed. So if you're secretly an atheist and you comment on some atheist page, it shows up in your devout Southern Baptist grandma Muriel's timeline, even though it's a conversation that has nothing to do with her and there's no reason for it to be. As a result, Facebook outs you, quote unquote, to your family, and grandma's typing away at all the evil Satanists trying to corrupt her grandson. And if you comment on a public post, it's unavoidable. You used to be able to control who could see your comments, even on a public post by other pages. But at the same time, Facebook introduced their tattletale feature. They took that ability away. Now, if they were to stumble across the same page, they'd be able to see your comment. But after that change, Facebook started pointing everybody you know directly to it. Not to mention, your privacy settings are difficult to find, difficult to understand, and with each passing year gives you less and less control over who sees what. Forcibly combining everybody's social circles, Facebook is trying to generate conflict. They want to generate conflict because conflict happens on Facebook, which means people logging onto Facebook more often and seeing more ads. They're essentially an internet tabloid, except instead of showcasing the personal drama of celebrities for clicks and sales, they're doing it to you instead. Ever notice how the vast majority of family drama, relationship fights, etc. happen these days on Facebook? That's by design. Facebook is literally destroying social fabric to make a buck, consuming relationship stability like it's an oil refinery consuming crude.
Wow. Wait, you didn't read the last sentence.
Oh, I don't have
it. It says, screw you, Grandma Muriel. God's dead.
Yeah. So I don't
so personal.
I don't know when this was posted, but I will say that in the last 2 years, Facebook has certainly done worse. So I will just say it's entirely possible.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, probably. It's probably one of those things where that's not intentional, but if they found out about it, they'll be like, that's too big a stretch. No one's going to catch it.
Yeah. It makes me think of the YouTube algorithm where nobody really knows how it works. But
even people that make it.
Yeah, but it feeds off of what generates views. So if all of a sudden, I don't know, some crazy fad started generating views, it would push that to the top, right? That's just how the algorithm works. So maybe not by design, but certainly by machine learning.
Well, I'm sure there's shady stuff that's going on, but that person's took that a little too far, crude.
Yeah, they're just making a comparison. Speaking of shady stuff, what do you think about this one? Michael Jordan's early retirement was to cover up a suspension for gambling on his own games or NBA games. Mm. Have you ever heard this one?
No. He was a baseball player, right?
He was a golf player.
Oh, and he played basketball sometimes, right?
He was Killmonger in Black Panther. Get it? Because that's Michael B. Jordan. Get it?
Okay.
Come on, man. Keep up. So this one I've seen pop up more and more recently, and I don't know why that is. Maybe just more people are hearing it, and they're like, oh, I got this little inside information. But people seem to think it's odd that Michael Jordan retired in 1993 at the age of 30. He was at the height of his career. He had just led the Bulls to their third championship title in a row. He had won a gold medal in the Olympics. And I'm quoting this because I don't know a lot about sports, but he led the league in scoring for the seventh straight season. And the theory goes that his retirement was a result of him getting caught gambling on NBA league games. And the NBA was like, hey, you can either retire peacefully or be suspended. So he took an early retirement, and the NBA offered this to him because they didn't want to tarnish his brand. And MJ obviously took it because he had a brand and an image to uphold. He was a role model to a bunch of people. So why would he want to be suspended for gambling? So the biggest evidence for this is what I said before. He was at the top of his game. A couple months before he retired, his father was actually murdered. And some people point to this as evidence that he got into some hot water for gambling. So they went after his dad. He would be found frequently playing blackjack in casinos the day before a Bulls game. He'd also been on record saying he lost a lot of money to gambling. And apparently in 1993, and this is a quote again from Sports Illustrated, NBA appointed Frederick Lacy, a formal federal judge and U.S. attorney, to examine whether Jordan's gambling ran afoul of league rules. So it's interesting that the same year that they hire a guy to investigate Jordan for gambling, he retires. Huh? You seeing the red string here, John?
The red string, yeah. Yeah.
So
like a hoop on a net.
I want to make it clear.
Right, right, Nick? Like a basketball string hoop.
Those are typically white.
Swish.
But I'll take
with
it.
With that joke.
I know enough about basketball to know that.
Duncan won.
And won. So I want to make it clear that gambling for basketball players is allowed, but they cannot bet on league games. And when they were looking into it, several weird things popped up in his finances, like a $57,000 check to a drug dealer, and then there were checks in the briefcase of a bail bondsman. And during his press release announcing his retirement, he said something like, if David Stern lets me back in the league. So people are like, oh, he was kicked out. He was forced out.
What drug costs $57,000?
Well, it was in the bank account of a drug dealer, but people assume that it was for gambling because he owed him gambling money. So the evidence against this, are you convinced so far?
Yeah, no, definitely, 100%.
Okay.
But go on.
So the evidence against this was that Michael Jordan has been on record saying he just felt burnt out and tired all the time, and he had obviously left his mark on history, and he figured it was time to move on while he was at the top of his game. His father had also just passed away, which people like to use as evidence, but more realistically,
that's evidence of the contrary.
Yeah, like that's
take a year off because he came back in 95.
It's an incredibly hard time in your life, so I'm not surprised that he stepped away. David Stern has also been on record saying Michael Jordan did nothing wrong, and I resent any implications to the contrary. So, I mean, that's like straight from the horse's mouth. And Sports Illustrated points out that he was super marketable. So why would they want like one of their key money makers, their money printing machines, to just step away from the league if they had another choice? They could have just fined him. They didn't have to suspend him. Like the rules are actually pretty flexible from what I understand. And they also point out that like a number of people, from NBA board members to authors to even politicians, have scrutinized this claim, and none of them have ever come up with evidence over the course of like 30 years. So something
he also that was the year he played baseball, was 94, when he wasn't doing NBA. So yeah, he just said, let's try something different.
Yeah, so also they didn't have a non-compete clause.
Yeah, I want to see his new documentary.
He has one.
Yeah, it came out this year. It's really popular right now.
Huh. Do you know the name of it?
Called The Last Dance, I think. Let me see. Yeah, The Last Dance. It's a 10-part documentary.
Nice.
On something. And he was like, I saw news about it because he was talking about how he didn't want to be seen as a jerk.
Yeah.
Because he like would be really, really crappy to his teammates.
Oh,
he was notoriously a bad person to them.
Yeah.
And I listened to an episode of The Michael Brooks Show, and they talk about this a little bit because he's into basketball and they're all New Yorkers.
Yeah.
But so he was talking a little bit about it, and he's like, for some reason, the people were like, there's like this hero worship that people are just so good at what they do that no matter what they do, people will make excuses for them.
Yeah.
And it's something
that you see that all the time.
Yeah. Not only Michael Jordan, but Steve Jobs also got away with just being an absolute jerk to the people that they work with.
Yeah.
And people will make excuses and say, oh, they're a genius. They could do whatever they need. So he probably could have still been a good player without being a jerk, but who knows? I'm not living his life.
Well, it sounds like he's come around to it too, if he's admitting he was a jerk.
Oh yeah, he was embarrassed by parts of it. Yeah.
You know what I'm embarrassed about?
Believing in this next conspiracy theory?
I use too much laundry detergent, John.
Oh, why is that?
But I blame the laundry detergent companies, because apparently the laundry detergent companies put the line on the measuring cup too high to sell more detergent.
Huh.
This is mostly a goof, but
yeah, it's a good voice.
There's a lot of these. I mean, you think of any product where it's like fill to this line, it's always the people are gonna be like, oh, you don't need to actually use that much. They just want you to use it quicker, so then you buy more of their product.
Yeah, well, so far that makes sense. I want to investigate into that with like cereal boxes, family size. Because I think there is something to that.
What do you mean? You don't think a family size can feed a whole family, or what?
I don't think it can feed a whole family, Nicholas. If you have a family, every family is the same size, roughly, right? Okay. Yeah. Have you ever sat down for breakfast and said, I'm so hungry, I'm going to eat this whole box, and your whole family eats all of it in one sitting? It's like chapstick. It rolls away into the back of the cupboard.
I never find it again.
Think about it. Not only that, but maybe two regular sizes have more than one family size.
You know what? You reminded me of something that I want to do, which is I want to compare Sam's Club products to regular products to see how much you're actually saving, because I don't think you're saving a whole lot. Like, we bought a big thing of toilet paper a long time ago, and I don't think it was that much cheaper than just going over to Target.
Yeah.
So I want to investigate that.
Let's get a DNA testing kit, and let's test store brand cereals against regular cereals.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we need like a spectrometer and a centrifuge and a Ouija board. Some guy on Reddit said that his dad works for P&G and admitted the laundry detergent manufacturers do this. So obviously it's real. Let's move on to the next one. You've heard of Paul McCartney and Avril Lavigne.
Paul McCartney and Avril Lavigne.
Yeah, you know them. What do you think those two random people have in common?
They're both skater boys.
You're not wrong. No, the answer I was looking for is that they are actually replaced by doppelgangers.
Oh my god, I'll see you later, boy. That's gonna...
You've been holding on to that one this whole time.
No.
So the rumor of Paul McCartney, at least, and this it's not just these two, but these are the ones I always hear, and they always pop up on Reddit. But the Paul McCartney being replaced, that rumor came along in 1979, There's just it came from a rumor that Paul McCartney died in a car crash, so people took that as truth. They didn't have the internet back then, so they just heard from their friend. And they're like, "Oh, Sangria would never lie to me." And the Beatles acknowledged these rumors in interviews and in their songs. They made references to it by like backmasking things like Paul is dead and all that kind of stuff. But conspiracy theorists just use this as evidence. It's not a joke by the Beatles. It's actually just real, and they're trying to pass it off as a joke. Like the Abbey Road cover, he's the only one walking out of step and he's not wearing shoes, several hidden lyrics, and the claim is that he was replaced by the winner of a Paul McCartney lookalike contest.
Wow. Yeah, and if you play if you play Abbey Road backwards, it's just the fun part from that Korn song.
What I want to point out is if he died in 1966 or 1967, the Beatles went on to make arguably some of their best albums, like Sgt. Pepper, their self-titled album, which people refer to as the White Album, or Abbey Road. And then Paul went on to be very successful in his solo career and with Wings. He has 12 Grammys that happened after he supposedly died and was replaced. So if he got replaced, this person went on to be incredibly successful, and
more of a Paul McCartney than they originally.
Exactly, went on to be way more successful, and obviously deserves the fame. So why does it matter at this point? Now, Avril's story is similar, except she was tired of the fame that she got. She didn't expect to be in the limelight so much, so she hired a bodyguard or a body double, I should say, to go to events for her. And then in 2003, she just said, "Hey, my body double, Melissa, you just take over being Avril."
Wow. She had a name too.
Yeah, Melissa. It's important because we'll get to it. The evidence is like she had this weird turn in her career. There's a bunch of lyrics that hide the truth, of course, just like the Beatles. But there was one photo of Avril and she had Melissa written in Sharpie on her arm.
Oh my God. Just like I have where it's written Jonathan on my arm. Wait, it says Frank. Oh no.
Oh God. I have a new co-host. And then the last piece of evidence is that whenever Avril would go to red carpet events, she'd always wear like casual clothes. But after 2003, Melissa, quote unquote, would wear dresses and skirts because that's the type of clothing that Melissa preferred.
This is the best one.
Yeah, it's 100%
true. I like
true.
The logic cuffs, but this is a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
because I feel like I'm reading Teen Beat, you know?
Well, I know that you're convinced, right? 100%. I've lost track of count, but anyway. I don't have a transition.
Wait, there's no rebuttal? That's it? It's just true?
Yeah, it's just true.
Oh, okay.
Is that okay with you?
Yeah, no, I'm down.
All right, good. Don't you have a friend that's obsessed with this theory?
Yes. In fact, let's plug her podcast, Rebel Hearts.
So is she, I'm not clear on this. Does she believe it, or she just think it's funny to talk about?
You'd have to ask Sam Mazza herself. So,
okay.
I went to school with her. She had the world's largest keychain ever. She's cool as hell. And I wish that you could, can you just search through someone's posts, like their actual posts?
Oh, what's her name?
Sam Mazza. I mean, I'm friends with her, but if I search Avril Lavigne, will it show me posts specifically made by Sam?
Well, I don't know.
Filters, yeah. Oh man, I'm deep in the system, Nick.
What was her podcast?
Post from anyone. Choose a source, Sam. Oh man.
Rebel Hearts is.
I'm searching. Show results. I found it. April 7th. You're too young to know that this is Melissa. March 7th in Skater Boy, Avril Lavigne, she explains he was a boy, he was a punk, so now we understand that he was a punk, okay? But then later she says all her palms stuck on baggy clothes, it's palm tight clothes. Now correct me if I'm wrong, but punk cakes didn't and don't wear baggy clothes, so it seems like unusual attire has been tight clothes for a long time. Moreover, the song title presents an even bigger problem. Was he a skater boy or was he a punk? Because she does not get that information, and that this is a post that she shared. Yeah. That being said, it's a 10-10 fantastic effing track. I would listen to it again. This is a review on it. I just spent 3 hours watching Avril Lavigne interviews and I decided I would never in my life want to be friends with her. Sorry, Avril.
Wow. Interesting.
But this is like all of her posts about December 24th, 2016.
Still wow. Strong,
yeah,
man.
So 2016, Sam Mazza, Rebel Hearts. Listen to her show. It's about women and music. It's a good podcast.
Sweet. Do it. Do it up. Do it up fools. I don't have a transition for this next one. So, John?
Yeah.
You've heard of the movie Frozen, made by Disney.
I've heard about it. I've seen it now at this point.
You have? My condolences. Yeah.
You hate Frozen. What's wrong with you? You have a cold heart, like Elsa.
It's not that I hate it. It's just that I think that there are a lot better movies out there that don't get as much recognition.
Well, what are you judging that recognition on, Nicholas? Merchandising?
Yeah.
They have a daughter that wants to be her?
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds like a personal problem.
It might be. So have you heard the theory that Disney made the movie Frozen so that it would be the first thing to show up when you type Disney Frozen into your favorite search engine instead of the conspiracy theory that Walt Disney is frozen?
Wow.
Have you heard this?
Only because, not until you mentioned it to me.
Okay. So yeah. There's not a lot of evidence for it. It's just one of those goofy things, but someone on Reddit took it very sincerely and was like, yeah, it was originally called the Ice Queen, and then they changed the name to Frozen. Uh-oh. Obviously. So
that it, bad news, Redditor.
Yeah. So
did you try googling it?
Yes, because the if that was their goal, they did a really bad job, because if you type in just Disney Frozen into Google, the first thing that comes up is where you can rent it, but right under that is the people also ask section, and the first two are, is Disney Frozen, and where is Walt Disney's frozen body? So if that was their task or their objective with this, that's a bad return on investment for $150 million.
Yeah, and that's way too much to pay for SEO anyway.
Yeah. And it raked in,
or for a movie, yeah,
$1.28 billion in the box office. So maybe it's possible. I could be wrong, but maybe they just wanted money. I could be wrong. I could be crazy. But it's almost like they're a movie studio and wanted to make some money.
Huh.
Now, to people that say they changed the name from Ice Queen to Frozen and that's a weird move, I also want to point out that they had a movie called Tangled, and they didn't call it Rapunzel. They didn't call it Princess in the Tower. They called it Tangled because that's a lot catchier. Same thing with Frozen.
I don't know. I think that's a big conspiracy to cover up that No Tears, No Tangles actually causes tears and tangles.
You might be onto something there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, John, we're to my favorite conspiracy theory, and this is that...
This one I don't know, I don't think, yeah.
It comes up, it used to come up all the time on these Ask Reddit threads. The same user would post it all the time, so then people started having theories that this user would make Ask Reddit threads asking what people's conspiracy theories were just so he could post it again and get more karma. That makes sense. But this theory is that Mick Jagger...
The karma's so useful.
Yeah. The word swagger was invented to promote the Rolling Stones. I know.
The word...
I know. It's like a game of lingo. You got to make the... Or what was that?
Can you say it slower?
The word swagger...
Okay.
I don't want to say was invented. The word swagger was used in a
popularized?
Bunch... Popularized in modern music to sell Rolling Stones music.
Brand?
Yeah, the brand.
And why? For alliteration?
Yeah, well, let's connect the dots here.
Okay, yeah, okay? Dive deep.
So this comes from, if you want to get more specific, it's that Mick Jagger was being used in lyrics to sell a rare re-release of a Rolling Stones concert. So I'm just going to read exactly what Ramsey...
Kesha better come up in this.
She does. She's the first thing we're going to talk about. And you might surprisingly have a little bit of expertise in this area, but I'm going to ask you about that after I go through this post. This comes from Ramses the Pigeon on Reddit. Ramses, this is long, so bear with me. The song TikTok, as performed by Kesha, was written by a guy named Benny Blanco. The lyrics include the line, "We kick them to the curb unless they look like Mick Jagger." That's a little bit strange, right? Mick Jagger wasn't exactly at the height of his attractiveness when the piece in question came out. Stranger still, that's in the post. I didn't insert that. That's just brand recognition right there.
Okay, good.
Stranger still, it wasn't the most popular song. It wasn't the only popular song to paint the man in a pleasant light. Moves Like Jagger, performed by Maroon 5, was released at around the same time, and Benny Blanco also had a hand in writing that one. This is where things start to get creepy. The song The Time, Dirty Bit, as performed by the Black Eyed Peas, features the following phrase, "All these girls, they like my swagger. They calling me Mick Jagger, I be rolling like a stone." It was written by John DeNicola. DeNicola? I don't know. Who used to produce the music for a band called Kara's Flowers. although you might know them by their current name of Maroon 5. The song Heart and Soul, as performed by the Jonas Brothers, contains a verse that ends with, "Making mistakes, but that won't matter if you can swag like old Mick Jagger." Antonia Armato wrote that piece, and she is managed by Downtown Music Publishing. Care to guess who else they manage? Here's a hint. It rhymes with Balloon Hive. We're getting there, John, right? The web of connections extends all throughout the recording industry, but one thing remains unclear. What's the link back to Mick Jagger himself? There must be something, because if you look at Google Trends, you'll see that his popularity spiked with the release of each song. The only time in recent memory when it has been higher is during a period in March of 2014 when his girlfriend died. Some people have suggested that the man's name is just easier to rhyme with Swagger, but popular usage of the word in reference to something other than a walking gait came about after the aforementioned songs had hit the airwaves. In other words, Jagger prompted Swagger, not the other way around. Why does it seem to be a cabal of artists trying to artificially inflate the performer's appeal and popularity? What benefit is there in promoting an aging rock star? Who is actually behind this odd trend? In order to answer these questions, we need to turn to Vivendi. This is a company which owns a lot of stuff. Their subsidiaries include Daily Motion, Ubisoft, Gameloft, and Universal Music Group. The Rolling Stones signed to Universal Music Group in 2008. In 2010, all of the songs listed above were released. Look at those Google Trends again. 2008 marked Mick Jagger's lowest ever dip in popularity, and the slump continued until February of 2010, right after TikTok became the most popular song on the radio. In September of that same year, the Rolling Stones re-released a rare concert movie, securing number one spot on four different countries' charts, the US and the UK being two of them, second place on four more, and a double platinum certification in Canada. Strangely enough, though, the only other place besides the United States where platinum status was achieved was in France, which is where Vivendi is located. What if this was all carefully planned and executed? What if there's a shadowy organization that's intent on promoting Mick Jagger for their own profit? What if I made all this up on a whim and just found whatever tenuous evidence I could to support it?
Did he write that?
Yeah, he did.
He's a hero.
I know. So, John, I call upon your expertise because you have worked in this realm. You've met the guy that wrote Who Let the Dogs Out?
Yes. They are named the Berman Brothers. He bought me a shrimp wrap once in New York City. They're very tall, German. And let me give you some of my evidence here.
Okay.
I'm going to read to you a list of five words.
Okay.
Or six. I'm sorry, six words.
Which is it? Get your story straight.
Okay. It's six words, Nicholas.
Six words.
And they're not going to activate any sleeper cells, I promise. Okay. But I do have to say them in order here.
You know I'm always worried about that.
Right. Bagger, dagger, Jaeger, Jagger.
Yeah.
Nagger, stagger.
Uh-huh.
Those are the only two syllable words that rhyme with swagger.
Yeah.
What's your point? You could do flagger, you could do sandbagger.
True.
My point being, Nicholas, Mick Jagger is really, really tough to rhyme with. Swagger doesn't really rhyme with anything.
Yeah.
And it's definitely not a cover art. Wink, 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 wink. They just happen to use that word, Nicholas.
Wink, yeah, wink, 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 wink. We don't want to get sued. No, I think
also carpetbagger, which would have been a much more fun word to use in TikTok.
Till I walk like a carpetbagger.
Carpetbagger. Yeah.
I don't know. That seems like a lot of coincidences.
I just don't know why we're not spending our time making conspiracy theories up on YouTube. That should be our niche.
Dude, we that sounds great.
Make up new ones and then debunk them ourselves at the end.
Like this guy did.
Yeah. Imagine doing that. Like leading people on the whole theory, just making up whatever, and then debunking our own theory at the end and saying how we did it.
Yeah.
But make it really convincing.
Well.
And show how easy it is to make them up.
Look for it soon on YouTube.
Yeah.
That's all I have for you this week, John.
Okay.
How many did I convince you of? Like one and a half?
I don't know. I haven't done laundry in a hot minute, so
two and a half.
Could be two and a half.
Well, I'm interested to know what people out there think. I think that there are a couple of these that are interesting to think about, but I don't know that I necessarily agree with them. Namely, the Mick Jagger one and the, I think the Banksy one is interesting to think about. I just think it's interesting that one guy owns everything Banksy, but I don't necessarily think that he's Banksy. So let us know what you think on Facebook. I'm interested to hear.
Yeah.
Should we take a quick break?
We should take a quick break. A quick hot minute break.
Let's do it.
And I'm sorry. The laundry thing, I've done laundry in a hot minute. I meant to say a cold air fluff minute.
We all know you smell like crap. John?
Yeah.
Where can people find us?
Strangerstillshow.com.
Where else?
That's it.
Oh, okay. I mean, you can also go to Facebook.
And where else?
Yeah. Well, I want to give a quick plug. I don't have anything after this. But next week we're going to do a live stream. We're going to live stream our podcast. I don't know that we'll interact with the audience very much, but we're going to go up on Twitch, I think. And, you can come and join us. It'll probably be on Tuesday, the date that I'm looking up, Tuesday the 16th at 8:30, 9 o'clock central, around probably 9 o'clock central is when we'll start doing the actual episode around there. Just come and hang out. We'll love to have you. I think it'll probably be on my Twitch page because that's what I have plugged into my program.
And we have a Stranger Still Twitch.
Yeah, but I already have followers on mine, so I can trick people into listening to our podcast.
Oh, okay.
So it'll be, I think it's twitch.com/thenickwood. But we'll also post it on our Facebook page and probably Twitter and stuff. So come hang out. And I don't know what the topic is, but we'll let you know when it gets closer. So if you have questions, we can answer them on the air.
Yeet.
I don't think you used that correctly.
Yeah, I did. It's an acknowledgement. Oh, okay. An agreement in triumph.
Okay, sure. I'll go with it.
Yeet.
BS. Do you have anything else this week, John?
I don't, Nicholas. I think that's all that I've got, except to say that I'm still John.
I'm still Nick.
And this is Steel. Stranger. Steel.
Huh. That's what you did there. And the news is ABC News.